Professor Matthai, before we begin speaking about Germany and a new German dream, let us first talk about your own dream for Kenya. Back in 1977, when you started Kenya's Green Belt Movement, all you had was a little nursery in the backyard of your home. Today, almost 30 years later, your movement has planted over 30 million trees in Kenya. You are Kenya's Assistant Minister for Environment and Natural Resources, and you are the first African woman to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Between 1977 and now, you were jailed and even threatened with murder. Where did you find the courage in these last 30 years to keep dreaming?
I want to, first of all, say that I'm very privileged to share a little bit of my thoughts with Germany, which is a country where I spent almost 2 years in the late 60s, early 70s in Munich and Gießen, and where I got some of my ideas and visions that I tried to share with my country when I went back. I always felt that my people, in their poverty, in their ignorance, in their inability to improve their quality of life, what they needed was committed leaders who could indeed encourage them to move forward, to keep trying. And those leaders were very scarce in my country. I had something that I could offer to my people, and so I decided to go and organize ordinary people so that we could at least rehabilitate the land.
Professor Matthai, from your life experience, how important is it for a country, a society, to have a shared vision, a shared dream?
It is very important to have a shared dream, because then both the leaders and the people push in the same direction, and success can then be realized. But if the society, and especially the people and their leaders, pull in different directions, then, of course, people cannot enjoy or cannot realize that dream. It is important that the leaders and the people have a common vision for their country so that they can move forward together.
So my question to you is, are national dreams or great inspiring visions for the future only the privilege of developing countries?
I can assure you that every person, every individual on this planet dreams of a better world, of a better quality of life. I think that it is also important for the people who live in the developed countries to learn to expand their dream, to dream for a better world, to dream for a more peaceful world, to understand that in order to have peace on this planet, it's very important that we have better and efficient and sustainable management of the resources, greater equitable distribution of these resources. And it is only when we realize that, that we will enjoy peace. Otherwise, we have to build very high walls in order to keep ourselves safe. And Germany, perhaps more than any other country, understands how important it is to equitably distribute resources and give freedom to create and be productive to all people.
Professor Matthai, between 1967 and 69, you lived in Germany, as you said, studying at the universities of Munich and Gießen. And since then, you have been in touch with many institutions and individuals from Germany who support and admire your work in Kenya. May we ask, with everything that you know about Germany, what is your own most hopeful, most idealistic dream or vision for Germany's future?
Well, I love the fact that Germany is a country that is very hardworking. Germans are known all over the world for their hard work, and I saw that when I was there. They are very committed to what they are doing. At least they were very committed at that time to rebuilding Germany. And they eventually succeeded not only in building West Germany, but in breaking the wall that separated East and West Germany. And today, the current generations can feel happy that they live in one Germany. That, I believe, is the dream that everybody in the world would like to have. I wish that Germany would see beyond the borders, that would want to embrace other people within the world so that they can also enjoy the kind of freedom, the kind of unity, the kind of progress that Germany now enjoys. I hope that Germany will continue to inspire the world with a desire for peace and a desire for unity and a desire for progress. That's what I saw in Germany. That's what I learned in Germany. And that's what I would wish that Germany would want to share with the rest of the world.
What practical steps could Germany take to nurture such a new vision or a new dream?
Well, Germany has the opportunity, because it is now within the European Union, within the G8, I think that Germany has a very important role to play, especially in the promotion of sustainable development in other countries. I would want to see Germany invest in the environment, management of the environment. I think it would be wonderful for Germany to extend her wisdom, her technological advancement to helping other countries to protect ecological systems such as the Congo Basin, such as the Amazon Basin, especially because people of Germany are known to be lovers of the environment. They really love their country and they take care of it, and they have done a lot, for example, to protect their forests. I wish that they would extend that vision to other parts of the world that need their environment protected.
If Germany's chancellor, no matter what party he is from, if Germany's chancellor would ask you to suggest a new mission statement for Germany, what would it contain?
Well, for me, definitely, coming as I do from the developing countries and thinking as I do on the damage that is done to the environment in developing countries, I would request that such a mission would incorporate the issue of the debt. And I know there are millions of Germans who support the cancellation of the debt. And I wish that they would support fair trade for developing countries that are trying to access developed markets so that they can sell their goods and generate the income that is needed to develop their countries. And third, I would hope that Germany would support an increase in aid so that countries in the developing world would receive adequate support financially to be able to put their economies in order. We need support, and I would hope that the Chancellor and the people of Germany would be in support of such efforts.
My next question is maybe a little bit simple-minded, but I still think it is important to ask this question. How could Germany renew itself by embracing more international responsibility?
Well, you know, the environment, as we all know it, is a global good. Any country that promotes the protection of the environment globally is doing good for itself. Germany is a developed country. It's a great manufacturer of vehicles, a sector that contributes towards the production of greenhouse gases. I think that it would be doing its share if it were to contribute towards protecting the environment, especially in other countries, and supporting programs such as reforestation programs that create carbon sinks. The other is Germany has the rest of the world as a market. And I know that many countries love German products. And so it is good for Germany to invest in development of other countries, we should become even a better market for the goods from Germany. It feels good, and it is a good thing when a country like Germany is in the forefront. And I think Germany has done great things in the past. It has made some mistakes, but so does everybody. And I think that Germany has come a long way, and has every reason to be very, very proud, and can inspire many other countries that have problems to stand up, believe in themselves, and go forward.
Ms. Mattei, what would you say to those German business leaders who think that caring for the environment does not create new jobs?
It is not true that if we take care of the environment, we lose jobs. We can create jobs. There are new opportunities in technologies, in recycling technologies. Many companies in the world are looking to see how we can indeed create jobs and not think that we are going to lose jobs when we protect the environment.
You were the first woman in East and Central Africa to earn a doctorate degree, and you are a strong voice for the equality of women and men in academia. Germany likes to think of itself as a country in which women and men enjoy equal rights. However, in Germany's universities, only 6% of the highest paid so-called C4 professorships are held by women. How could Germany benefit from pursuing the dream of equality between women and men much more aggressively?
We have come a long way when you look at what women have achieved, but we still have a long way to go because we are dealing not only with the policies that are against women, but we are also dealing with attitudes. And these attitudes are not only in Germany, it is indeed throughout the world. We are dealing with cultures that are entrenched with attitudes that discourage women and block their opportunities where they could probably perform much better. We are fighting barriers that have been entrenched for generations, some of them even in ourselves. Sometimes we as women are not quite sure that we should push, that we should give our fellow women the opportunities that they request for. So it is a long process, and I can only say that both in Germany and in many other countries, governments need to invest more in creating opportunities for women and breaking these psychological and cultural barriers that women continue to face.
In closing, let us ask you, if a young German asked you how it is possible to have confidence in a new German dream that most people, the government and current culture, might think is impossible or unimportant, what would be your advice to that young person?
I want to share with you a story that I have shared elsewhere, which to me focuses on people who feel like they are overwhelmed by the problems that face them, and especially young people, or even older people who feel like they have tried so much throughout their life and things don't seem to get better. It's the story of a hummingbird. And I want to share this with other people in Germany who may feel overwhelmed, may feel like there is nothing much they can do, that they have tried so hard that maybe somebody else, but not them, should do something. This is a story of a fire that broke out in a forest, and all the animals felt completely incapacitated. They didn't know what to do. But this hummingbird decided not to be overwhelmed, to do the little it could do. And it went to the river and started bringing water to where the fire was, and it would go get a drop of water, pour where the fire was. And the animals were asking the little bird, "What do you think you are? This is overwhelming. There is nothing much you can do. You are only a hummingbird." And the hummingbird was committed. It believed in itself. It believed in its ability to do something. It persisted, and it kept going back and forth to the river. And it said, "I am doing what I can." And that's what everybody should feel, like the hummingbird. You do what you can. Do not be overwhelmed by all the problems of the world. Just do what you can. Slowly by slowly, our little actions will make a difference. Let us be like the hummingbird. Let us not be overwhelmed. Let us do the little we can.
Professor Mattei, thank you so much for dreaming with us.
Thank you very much, and best wishes.